because of his message, because of his authority, because of his miracles, people were attracted to him. They couldn't have enough. Isaiah 53:3 also tells us that he was despised and forsaken, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, like one from whom men hide their face. Ooh! He was despised and we did not esteem him. And I made the points that Jesus was despised during his 3 years of ministry. Jesus was treated with contempt as he was dying. Jesus was disdained after his death. He was rejected as Messiah, John 1:11 tell us. Rejected. Yet individually, some people did receive him, John 1:12. That's where we've been the last 2 weeks. This morning, there's a third part, and it involves you if you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus yet, I think it still involves you. But somehow, the living God has invested himself in you, child of God. This third part has to do with those that receive him as their Savior, who are truly joined to him, that we have the same effect on people that he had, if to a lesser degree, of course. By many, we are seen as fools, brainwashed, and even a detriment to society. One of the big movements in our era, which is not new whatsoever, but in our culture, is trying to shift things within church to conform to society so we'll be more attractive. Sadly, it compromises truth so often. Ways can change, but the message can't. There are those in our very culture that want to get rid of us because we are a detriment to this society moving forward, because we claim Jesus as Savior. By others, however, we are seen as a breath of life, as ones who hold hope, and often as a resource person pointing to the source of life. Please open your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Now, granted, these three messages are kind of topical, which is not my habit. We've done expository within the topical. That legalizes it for me. But they're leading in a direction. They're leading in a direction that I hope we can appreciate. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are saved or being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. Nothing quite smells like death. And to another, an aroma of life to life. Early this morning, I stepped outside and I was taken back to my childhood in Three Rivers, California. I didn't live there. My great-great-grandparents did, and other family. And I remember going out in the early morning and hearing that river. And this morning as I went out, everything was quiet except that river coming through. Breathed in that spring freshness, looking around at the green all around me. Life. Nothing quite like it. And we are an aroma of death to death to some, despised, and of life to life for others. They want it. And who is adequate for these things? Of course, the answer is no one. For we are all, don't need to go, I'd love to preach on the next verse. It starts a path down treating the Word of God absolutely right and honest, whether you're seen as a death one or a life one. I'd like to look at a couple of other passages. We're coming back to this one. Would you please turn forward to Philippians? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Act on it. You might say, walk it out. 13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Oh my goodness. There's another aroma besides death and life. There's something stinky can happen in our life. The grumbling and complaining, the grumbling and disputing, the judgmentalism, the legalism, all the other stuff that we can bring in doesn't smell real attractive to people. In fact, if they conclude, if that's what Jesus smells like, I don't want him. That's a problem. If that's what Jesus does, I don't want him. So let's get past it. Apologize for the smell. This stinks. Apologize for the action. That was not Jesus. That was me. Will you forgive me? And continue walking out that salvation. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The word perverse, it is what it was not intended to be. Among whom you appear, and that's present tense, that is shining bright now. Right now, as a luminary. You go out at night on a clear night and you see those stars, or you see that moon. You see the eclipse a couple of days ago? That was pretty fun to watch. Nice pictures, Matt, by the way. Thank you. You appear as a luminary. You say, wow, look at that. What is the light that's shining, however? Wow, the great Dan Robinson. That's the one that produces the stinky. It's when the Lord Jesus is shining through me. That's what this is saying. That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain. Turn a little bit further forward to 1 John, just a little bit before Revelation. If you go that far, you've gone too far. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 and verse 13. Do not marvel, brethren, when the world hates you, or if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death. You shouldn't be smelling like death anymore. Into life. Because you know this, because we love the brethren. He who does not love does not, he who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. John is he's a black and white guy. There's no gray area. It's like, you're loving your brother, you're hating him. Oh, you're hating him? You're a murderer. Whoa. Chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because here it comes, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Did you catch that? As he is, he who is alive in me, and I'm borrowing a verse from Colossians to title this sermon this morning, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is not just theoretical. It's not just something that we can learn, you know, in a classroom and say, oh, isn't that interesting? He is wanting, he is doing it. In fact, Philippians 1:6, he is at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. We just read that in Philippians 2. He is shining through you to those who are in the perverted generation. He is doing something in ministry. And as he is doing it in you, you will be despised by some. Don't be shocked. You will be craved by others. Don't start bragging except on Jesus. The boast is not in you. The boast is in him who is at work in you.
Amen.
Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us, it's him at work, in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. So let me ask, where did you go last week? Could they kind of smell a little Jesus as you walk through? Now, obviously, this is picture language. But there is something about us that should be left behind even as we move through. There is something that an aroma does. Oh my, to walk into my house sometimes, I was hungry, but now I'm really hungry. You know what I mean? There's something about an aroma of Jesus. The aroma of Jesus takes me past the broken person that is coming through. It takes me past the failures and the regrets. It takes me past the injury where they have injured me. That is a smell that is unlike any other. The aroma, the triumph in Christ, manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. It's going to get bigger. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God. Let's read that differently. We are a fragrance of Christ to God. As Christ is related to God and has done this work before God for us, so we are that aroma. We are that fragrance, the result of it, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We're still here on this planet. And there's still a need for Jesus and for life here on this planet. Why is it that God didn't just pull me out when I accepted him as my Savior? Because he didn't want to. He wanted me to be here, to be that aroma. To one, an aroma from death to death. Bad, despised, contempt, hate. To the other, an aroma of life to life. And who is adequate for these things? That's going to kick us into another verse in a moment. The answer is no one. I'd like to go to chapter 3, please. 2 Corinthians 3, 15. The topic here is Moses being read the law, being read in Hebrew audience. at the temple when it was, and then later that was destroyed, and there were many synagogues. When Moses is read is the topic. It just talked about Moses putting a veil over his face so he could hide the fading glory of God so people wouldn't see it fade. So step into verse 15. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. Why does the veil lie over their heart? But whenever a man turns to the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus in the context, the veil is taken away. Now it's different. I read it different. It is different. Now the Lord is the Spirit, verse 17, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom, life. But we all, here it comes, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. That seems to indicate to me there's something about the glory of the Lord that should be able to be seen as if I'm the mirror. Who's adequate for these things? None. But it's reality. And we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. From death to death for some. From life to life for others. And that life continues and builds and grows. And from glory to glory. Who's doing the work? God in us. Just as from the Lord the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry of life to life, this ministry of glory to glory, since we have this ministry, we, as we received mercy, why do I have to have mercy? Guilty party. God has been merciful and has saved me. He's brought me from death into life. We do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. Not walking in craftiness, here it comes, or adulterating the word of God. That's associated with verse 17 of chapter 2. Adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel, the good news about Jesus, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world, one of the titles or activities of Satan himself, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And they're saying, ooh, that smells like death. You're brainwashed. You're a detriment to society. Going along with the perverted crowd. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, Dan Robinson, get out of the way, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, Genesis chapter 1, and prophetic about Jesus from Isaiah. God is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Anybody have one of those earthen vessels? Amen. You're it. You're it. Something about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Having that life, having that glory, having that light. But remember, as he was despised, others received him. They didn't receive him because he was another pretty face. He didn't have money to offer. It wasn't the typical things that attract us to the Hollywood stars, etc. Sports stars, let's include them. Political stars, let's include them. None of that. His character, his person, his message, his authority, his miracles, Here we go. Jesus, that Jesus. And we have that treasure in these earthen vessels. Who can be adequate for that? Who can say, you know what, I've been walking the walk, I qualify. Now, get out of the way. You're not ready yet. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you at the proper time. Keep moving with me in the scripture. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. And almost offhandedly, he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. You see, as victors in Christ, as more than conquerors in Christ, crushed, perplexed, or not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. You know, this kind of thing applies personally, Nancy, to you, having just lost your son. Crushed, difficult, but not lost hope. We're still moving forward. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So people can look at you and see Jesus, his character, his person, his work. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. Martha shared with us we prayed about Nigeria last week. We've prayed about China. We've prayed about other nations. We've prayed about terrible persecution that's going on around the planet. And some of that has been threatened among us in America. Always delivered to death for Jesus' name, Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our flesh. Okay, what does this leave me to do?
Praise God.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. And as God is doing this work in me, you know, my cooperation includes confession, it includes repentance, it includes humbly saying, your will be done. And it is not without the work of God. I couldn't get there from here. God is at work and gives us the grace because he's given us mercy. Now, all of us, at times anyway, try to deal with our person that might need a shower. It might need deodorant. It might need to wash its hands and change its clothes. All that exterior stuff, let's think about it. Take it home with you. What is being shown in what I say I believe and who I say I believe in? Is Jesus being known by someone who knows me? That's God's plan, and that's God's work. Interaction. Yes, ma'am?
Is the word love to our brethren in John the same as the word love to our neighbor?
Yes, John 13:35, by the way. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It matters. Love, there would be agape. Yeah. Anybody else? Comment or question?
Jesus was pointing at there in the Sermon on the Mount. There when he said, blessed are you when men shall cast insults at you, persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely. Not just those things by themselves, but on account of me. Because of him, not because of... I mean, I can do all kinds of things. People get mad at me. When they're mad at me because of him, because they see him, smell, as you've pointed out, those senses, that elicits it elicits the good and the bad, depending on which side you're on. So I just have a point out of the.
Thank you. And there's others we could pull from. Thank you for that one. That's very good.
Well, it may be topical, but I'm sure like it. Be challenged.
All right. Excellent. 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 So we spent a year in the book of Ephesians, just finished it a few weeks ago. The whole first part of chapter 1 of Ephesians tells all the spiritual blessing in the heavenlies are yours in Christ Jesus. All, everything that's available is yours in Christ. We have just this morning walked through something that God is doing. There's life in us, and this is the life. This is the life. Life to be seen, life to be known, life to be shared. Let me go back to a bad illustration, since you can always learn from a bad example. It's a sad commentary in restaurants that are open on Sundays from the waitresses and workers at those restaurants to say their worst customers come in just after church on Sunday. That should not be. I've heard of some bragging about leaving one of those little tracks that looks like a $100 bill. Ha ha ha. Open it up and it's a track about how to know Jesus without leaving a tip. That doesn't impress anybody. I mean, that sort of thing is religious. That sort of thing is gimmickry. By the way, that's where these verses about the Word of God being adulterated. That's where the verse about the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. That sort of thing. It's pretty important how we walk the walk out there. Walk out that salvation. You know what? I need help doing that. God help me. God give me the grace to do this. But there is nothing I can do to make the aroma of Christ come out. It's His work. And as I'm walking that walk, He wants me to, it happens as an automatic. The love of God, the life of God, the glory. Thank you, Lord, for that marvelous, miraculous. And who is worthy? I got an earthen vessel and He's invested that in me. Praise God. That's all I can conclude. So let's go ahead and sing a song. Agatha, you ready for it?